Safety, dependability, and power. Chevy Silverado isn't happy unless the work is hard and the day is long. No wonder Silverado is America's number one best-selling retail pickup truck. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and put a Silverado in your toolbox.
I made a promise, and I try to keep my promises. I told George Slaughter when I talked to George, I don't know, 3 months or so ago, that on the new year, I will talk to him again because at that point in time, he will have celebrated his 95th birthday, which happens to be on New Year's Eve. Happy belated birthday, George.
I was 40 before I realized that the whole world was not celebrating my birthday. Anyhow, it was in 95. I never thought I would live that long, you know, but here I am. Nice to talk to you.
Here you are with a book called Still Laughing, A Life in Comedy. Yeah. From the creator of Laughing and a documentary, The Guru of Laughs, that's about to come out, which we'll talk more about. First, I want to know how you are and whether or not you're safe because you're in the heart of Los Angeles.
Yeah, well, I wasn't safe before the fire, so I don't know whether I'm safe now. It's absolutely shocking. It's so sad because there's so many wonderful people are being hurt. But they'll get it, and they'll get it put on. But the same, we got this bad fire at the same day that Trump is convicted. So there's always some good news.
Okay, and you are safe, and you haven't needed to evacuate, or you have?
Well, we were told to evacuate, and then they said we didn't have to. So we're sitting in the hills, Beverly Hills, and waiting to see what's going on. I think it's under control now. It's so sad, you know?
Yeah, it sure is. All right, so the book is about your life, essentially, and in comedy.
I'm still laughing.
Yeah, and
it's about my many adventures.
All right, I want to talk about some of those adventures. The book is so filled with so many, it's no problem to bring up some we simply didn't have time to talk about last time. So one is Groucho Marx. Tell me about your meeting with him and what he did, keep it clean, though, before shows.
Well, Groucho was an adventure. He was not an interview. He was an adventure. You never knew what he was going to say, and it was a challenge. And I really enjoyed my time with Groucho Marx. It was an adventure. You know, when you think about it, we don't have any more Groucho Marxes around now. He was an original, and he remains an original, you know, but he was fun. God, he was fun to be with.
And you wrote about how different performers, before they go on stage, prepare in their own way. And you had an interesting experience with Groucho.
Well, he just, Groucho did anything he could to throw you off. And I think he refused to do the interview, and in the middle of the interview, he changed it. It was just, the interesting thing about Groucho is only Groucho could tell those stories and say those things, because coming from anybody else, it wasn't funny. He was not a comic. He was an adventure. I had a good time, a lot of fun with Groucho.
And with the interview, you're referring to an interview that Bill Cosby did with him as a part of a TV special. Did you have any inkling at that point in time that Bill Cosby turned out to be the Bill Cosby on stage, brilliant, but the personal part of him, or did you have no idea?
I had no idea. I knew that Bill was not easy, but I had no idea of this other lifestyle he was into, which is sad. And he was powerful, and he used that power in a very ugly way.
Yeah.
So I really don't want to devote any of our time to talking about Bill Cosby. I would just as soon put my memories of Bill Cosby behind me. It's sad because he was a great performer. Mm-hmm. But he was evidently just not a nice person.
All right, let's talk about Cary Grant. there you go. I like that response. Tell me about your experience with him.
We went to dinner one night. My favorite thing with Cary Grant, we go to dinner one night, and we were at the Beverly Hills Hotel, and he said, I'll go get the tickets, right? You went up for the dinner tickets. So he goes up to the woman, and he says, she said, your name? He said, Grant. First name, Cary. Cary Grant. She looked up, she said, you don't look like Cary Grant. He said, nobody does.
He was
a delightful man.
Yeah.
He was funny, he was playful, and as with so many of those people, the person behind the person we saw was often more interesting than the one that was out in front. That was Cary Grant.
Interesting. But what a talented actor, a straight actor, if you will, as well as a comic.
Yes, yes. But he had great... See, as with most of those people who are great actors, who are superstars, who are legends, they have great humor. Cary Grant had great humor. But I had such fun with him. Telling about Cary Grant is not nearly as much fun as being with Cary Grant. He was gorgeous. You know, he was tall, he was beautiful, and he had that style about him. He was wonderful.
Speaking of gorgeous, you were, at least according to Judy Garland, who you're the guy who said, come back, come do TV. She did, and you produced that show, the Judy Garland Show, which we now see clips on YouTube all the time, including the legendary duet that she did, or what do you call it? It's not a duet. It's with three. As I recall,
yeah,
it was with Ethel Merman and Barbara Streisand as well as Judy?
Yes, yes, yes. And Judy could perform with anybody. You know, Judy was an adventure. And Judy arrived and she was wound up like as tight as you could. And when she walked out on stage, the interesting thing with Judy, we would tape at 8 o'clock. Everybody was nervous about Judy. Was she going to show up? What do they do? Whatever. Judy Garland would show up at 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock, and she would start taping at 8 o'clock. And she would hit that stage like a racehorse. And she was tiny, and she was unpredictable, but she was an adventure. She was truly a unique person. One of my favorite things was when I did Judy and Liza together. Because these two nice women, when they hit the stage, it was super competitive. So that show you ought to take a look at it, Judy Garland and Liza Minnelli.
And the thing is, you could find all of this stuff today on YouTube, as well as some of the cable stations and elsewhere. Did you ever think these shows would be alive or be considered classic decades later?
If you were in the building at the time, you realized that we were doing something very, very special. We did one show with Judy Garland and Mickey Rooney when they talked about growing up together. One in a lifetime. Nobody else could do that. So I think when you're in the middle of a firestorm of talent like that, you're aware, you know it's memorable what you're doing and you're proud of it. I was. Some of those Judy Garland shows were absolutely wonderful. And see today variety is now disintegrated into something I don't understand. I don't understand the music. I don't understand the lyrics. I don't understand the clothes. I don't understand the performances. But because we have some great performers, it's just somehow or another there's no window for them.
Well, the name of the book is called Still Laughing, A Life in Comedy from the Creator of Laugh-In. We will talk about Laugh-In. How can we not? When we come back with legendary George.
This will be fun.
Okay, we'll be right back.
Hey.
Yes, on WGN. Steve Dale back with you on WGN with the legendary George Slaughter. You know, first off, the name of the book, Still Laughing, A Life in Comedy from the Creator of Laugh-In. Legendary is a term that's bantied about a bit, but
yeah,
first
too much.
No, I don't think so. For all that you've done, and we're just touching the very surface here. Here's another example. You were one of those who gave a eulogy at Frank Sinatra's funeral, correct?
Oh, the most terrifying experiences in my life was, they said, would I do a eulogy? And I said, oh, no. So I said, So long as I don't have to follow Gregory Peck, right? And sure enough, there it was. The bishop introduced me, and I was terrified because I've not hung out with a lot of bishops, you know.
what was Frank Sinatra like?
I didn't know what I was going to say, but I said, "Thank you, Your Honor," And that was a mistake because the bishop is not your honor. Right? But that cracked everybody up, and then they laughed, and it became a happy experience, which it should have been, because Frank was a happy person. Not, he was not happy, but he generated happy, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, I had a lot of adventures with Frank Sinatra, many of them, even some of them even before midnight. But after midnight, he was an adventure. He was a very special, magical, magnetic dynamo, and I treasure the moments that I had with him.
What was it? What do you mean about? And also that image or reputation that if you got on his bad side, you might not see tomorrow.
Well, it was not difficult to get on his bad side because you could make mistakes. He was not as dangerous as people. He was rumored to be. He knew a lot of dangerous people, but at that point in time, we all did. But Sinatra was clearly an adventure. He was a person not only special on stage, but he was also special off stage. And he had great humor, which people didn't realize. Frank Sinatra loved to laugh, and he loved humor. And when you got Dean and Frank and Sammy Davis together, it was hysterical. And Sinatra was at the center of it.
Well, you were the guy who said this could be a good Las Vegas act. I mean, I can't believe I'm talking to the man who thought, well, if we put Sinatra together with Sammy Davis and Dean Martin, that'll be a good idea. And it was, of course, a great idea for decades. Did you?
Yep.
Did you?
They were funny.
Yeah. What, did you know that together there would be magic with the three of them?
Well, you put them in a room together. Yeah. See, and strangely enough, humor is the key. Humor is the panacea. Humor's the connector, and they all had great fun and great humor. Sammy was outrageous, and of course, Dean was a great counterpuncher. You know, people would say something, and then they introduced Dean Martin one night to a president, and everybody applauded and cheered and whatever, and then when all the applause died down, Dean Martin said, what was his first name again? I mean, Dean was an accident happening in front of you, and it was a delight to be with Dean Martin. As was Sammy. Sammy was an adventure, you know. Frank was the aura of Frank Sinatra was compelling. It was overwhelming. He was little. He was a small man, and when he looked at you, you better have an answer, you know.
I had
great fun with him.
Did Dean Martin really drink?
No. Dean Martin would occasionally have a beverage, but most of the stuff you saw him drinking was tea. Because you couldn't do what Dean did drunk, you know, but he appeared to be, the delivery was kind of like he was drinking. But Dean was not the drinker he was supposed to be. He drank a little bit, but not anywhere near what they said.
When you created Laughing, did you have any idea that, first off, Goldie Hawn and Lily Tomlin and Joanne Worley and all the others would become stars? And because you discovered them as individuals, and by putting them all together, that you would be doing this cultural phenomenon.
Yeah, the accident looms large in my biography and in my life. It was NBC had nothing to put on opposite Lucille Ball. Lucy was number one. And so I said, well, I'll give you a show. Just let me alone. Let me do it. And they paid no money at all. It was the cheapest show on NBC, on television. And we came in with this group of new people who all had great energy and something to prove. And we put them all in the room at one time. And then a lot of laughter was improvised. Hmm. And when we then edited a woman by the name of Carolyn Raskin, then went down and edited all of that stuff together. When you look at Laughing, you'll see jump cuts, and you'll see that there was a lot of accident involved in Laughing. We had a good time doing it. We would tape till 2, 3 o'clock in the morning and then put together whatever we got, and that was the show.
Where did the socket to me come from?
Well, it was a sight gag, and there was a song going in, and it would sock it to me with a chant that went underneath this whole musical thing. But the idea of doing sight gags and having someone get hit with a bucket of water sounds today like it. Well, how did you do that? Well, we did it because we ran out of things to do at 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's
and
crazy.
The socket to me was just something that happened, and it was funny, and everybody laughed, so we kept doing it.
All right. We only have 1 minute
accident,
left, George.
Accident. You've got to count on accident. Accident's the reason for much of my success.
Well, I think that's rather modest, but we have 1 minute left. In that 1 minute, I want to know the secret you have to being 95, still active, still clearly laughing. Or is laughing a part of the secret?
Well, laughing is the key to the secret. I mean, if you can laugh, you know, when something hurts so bad, it hurts as bad as it can hurt, the only thing you can do is laugh. When the ultimate pain, the only answer to it is laughing. Laughter is part of our makeup, and when a baby's born, you don't have to teach it how to sleep, eat, cry, or laugh. And a little baby laughs, we don't know what they're laughing at, but we're just glad to hear it. So people should laugh more, and I don't mean just at elections. But the laughing may be the answer to Donald Trump, you know.
I don't know about that, but I do know this. The name of the book is called Still Laughing, A Life in Comedy from the Creator of Laughing. Lily Tomlin wrote the foreword to the book, the afterword, and there is such a thing, apparently, written by Goldie Hawn. George, it is a pleasure and honor to talk to you again. Happy 95th birthday.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much. Hopefully I'm going to sing 96. Thank you.
I'll make you a deal. Every year, we will talk to you at least once a year, although this year I've got more to do because you have that documentary coming out. But
Oh, yeah. We're putting that together now, and it's a bunch of funny people doing funny things. It was a delightful experience just remembering all of those adventures.
It'll be called The Guru of Laughs. That's what you are. Thank you so much, George.
Thank you.